Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources, available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
I believe in the principles of the kingdom, and one of the principles of the kingdom is definitely sowing and reaping. So we give into something that then multiplies that back to us so that we can have more to give out, which multiplies back to us. And that can be financially, but it also can be in many different ways. I think 2 Corinthians 9:8 talks about that we have grace that's all sufficient in everything, so that we can have an abundance for every good deed, more than enough for all our needs, and abundance for every good deed. And so the economy of heaven is based on that principle of sowing and giving. And you can see that basically right back into the very beginning, when Cain and Abel wanted to engage with God, they gave an offering. You know, and one's offering was accepted and the other one wasn't accepted. Now, some people get caught up on, well, why wasn't Cain's offering accepted? Was it because it was the labor of his hands rather than just the animal, which was just something that was pure? Was he trying to earn something because he gave to God an offering that represented his hard work? And, you know, there's lots of different things. The key in it is that even after he found that his offering wasn't acceptable, God gave him an opportunity of repenting and changing that, which he chose not to do. So right through, you get, you know, Abraham with Melchizedek and giving 10% of the spoils of war. But then you also get with Jacob basically saying, you know, I will give a tithe of everything to you. So there's a sense where giving is built into, I think, the principles of God's kingdom in relationship with him. Now, does that mean that we're under that obligation to give? Well, in the New Testament, it says God loves a cheerful giver, and we should give what we feel within our heart to give. There's a lot of debate over whether tithing is an acceptable thing, whether we're under obligation to tithe as they were in the Old Testament under the law. And it talks about in Malachi, of course, you know, robbing God in tithes and offerings. It comes down again to the heart. The issue of trading is an issue of the heart and the thoughts and intentions and motives of the heart. So often giving and money tests our heart, and it shows whether we are actually trusting in God for our provision or whether we are fearful and therefore afraid to give because we think if we give away, then we won't have enough. And now fear is never from God. So if we're afraid and if we're fearful over giving, then it's an indication that the motives of our heart aren't right. Now, I personally believe that, you know, a tithe, 10%, is the bare minimum that I would desire to give. And I desire to give more. I would love to give 90% and have 10% to be more than enough for all my needs and an abundance for every good deed, because in that way, it's showing that I'm dependent on God. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else that we need will be added to us. And in the previous verses, it talks about not worrying about where you live, about what you wear and what you eat and those type of things, because God will look after us if we seek first the kingdom. And therefore, you know, for me, being blessed financially is so that I can fulfill my destiny in seeking first the kingdom. And of course, poverty and debt is a work of the enemy, because Jesus came, and in Isaiah 61, and that quoted in Luke 4:18, to bring the favorable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, when all debts were cancelled and everything was restored and returned to people in fullness. And so that is God's desire for us, that we would live in fullness. He blessed Adam and Eve. When he blessed them, that means he empowered them to succeed, to prosper at the highest level of their calling. But they decided to seek another source, which was effectively their own source. Therefore, they covered themselves with fig leaves, which was their own source of making up and doing that stuff. And so the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is always the source that we go to when we're not trusting God. And therefore, finances often test us to whether we're trusting God or not. And the issue isn't the money, the issue is the heart. So I personally believe that if we were in such a relationship of intimacy with God, that we were willing to go to him every week and say to him, okay, how much would you want me to give today, this week? Who would you like me to give it to? You know, how much would you like me to give this to the church? And, you know, bottom line is, if we were willing to trust God that way and then willing to be obedient to what he said, then I think we would live in a fullness of blessing and provision. But I feel that many people would be frightened that God might say that they would have to give more than their tithe. And so to me, a tithe is a basic minimum, but is for those who still live in immaturity as children. And so having a rule that says 10%, which is easy to work out, 10% of my gross income, this is what I can give. Therefore, I'm safe because I'm giving what the Word of God says. I think that is for those really who have not got a relationship with God in which they're willing and honest to ask him and be prepared to be obedient, whatever he says. What happens if he said 20% this week or this month? What happens if he said 15 or 30%? Would we be able to trust him and be obedient to him? So most people are content with basically, well, I'll give the 10% and then I'm safe. But I'm not sure that really is the right heart attitude. It should be a generous heart, cheerful giving. You know, a tithe is not a tax that God puts on us. Obviously, the purpose of the tithe in the Old Testament, there were several tithes. There was a tithe that went to the priests, so that those, the Levites, and those that had no land and provision themselves and were serving God would be able to live. And that was a good thing. And so, you know, if we are part of a church and we want that church to fulfill its purpose and destiny, and we're part of that destiny, then giving and honoring that is good. But I think God wants us to be more intimate with him and be more willing to listen to what he says and to ask him, what is it you want me to give? I think another way of also looking at it is to see that God's desire is for us to be blessed. He just wants us to engage in faith, in trust that his provision will be released. And it's, you know, even Jehovah Jireh, one of the sort of covenant names of God, is that God's provision will be seen. But if you think of where that came in the story of Abraham and Isaac, that came at the top of Mount Moriah when he was just about to sacrifice his son, giving the greatest thing he possibly could. And at the point where he was about to be obedient and totally trusting that God would even raise him up or give him another son, then God had the ram was caught in the thicket, and he turned with the angel, said stop, and he turned, and there it was like God's provision was seen. But it was at the point of obedience that his provision was seen. And so I think it is about Obedience. It's not about being under the law. It's about the desire of our heart to be living in faith and trusting God for that which is our destiny and outworking it. And I think in the New Testament, there was still giving, you know, gifts and offerings, you know, and giving and gifts which were given. They still seem to do that in proportion to what they'd received. You know, Jesus certainly didn't say that people shouldn't tithe. He affirmed tithing. He just said, actually, but there are so much more weightier things in it, which is love. You know, so everything really, I think, in terms of giving, you know, if we're worrying, anxious about finances, if we're worrying and anxious and therefore not seeking first the kingdom, but not trusting God, then I think that is an access point for the enemy. All fear brings an access point for the enemy, because you can't be in fear and in faith, you know. And I think God wants us to trust him greatly. And of course, everything that we are and all that we have belongs to God anyway. You know, when we gave our lives to become disciples, we were really giving up the right to everything and giving everything to God for him to administer in our lives. And therefore, you know, finances is just one of those things. So there's an issue. Now, Ian Clayton also talks about teruma and sowing into, you know, we're talking about sowing into revelation. And, you know, in terms of when he's in the conferences, when, you know, people bring revelation, then, you know, they came and they basically gave a gift to sow into that revelation. So they were trading into the revelation to receive back the outworking of that revelation in their lives. Now, as a church here, we don't particularly do that, because in a sense people are giving into the church, which is part of, you know, supporting some of my ministry in that sense anyway. So there's really no need for them to do that, because they're doing it by being part of the church. And by giving into the church, then they're part of receiving that revelation that we bring. There are a number of people that do give teruma offerings to me, as they see me as someone who is sort of discipling them or helping them in their engaging God. And you know, it's not something I've ever asked for or anything like that, but some people do, and that's a blessing for me. You know, I'm sort of giving a lot of my time you know, outside of just the remit of the church here to bless people around the world in these things. And ultimately, you know, God's my provider for being able to do that, and we look to God for that provision. But for those who do feel that, then some people do. Now, I know Ian has a teaching on it, but it's not really that clear in the teaching I've heard exactly how that works. I know certain churches, like Shepherd's Gate Church, they have a teruma calculator on their website where you can put in your monthly salary, and it says about the tithe, and then it says about teruma, which is, I think, was a 40th of salary, which they gave to the rabbis. Because in those days, certain rabbis which they followed had teachings that they had given to. And the same happened with Jesus. Jesus was classed as a rabbi, and, you know, he had lots of money that, because he needed a treasurer, which with Judas, to look after that money. And you know, when they had the feeding of the 5,000, they could have gone and bought bread and food for all the people who were listening, but Jesus did it by a miracle. You know, so teruma is another teaching that you don't hear an awful lot about, but it enables people to sow into revelatory teaching and to bless people that they're receiving from in that way. Personally, I feel it has to be relational. If people are not in relationship with that person that they would see as someone who is teaching and helping them, then I think it can just become a structural thing. And I think that was a big problem with ministries, an apostolic ministry, that if you gave something into the ministry, then they would give this. And he never ever met the person, and it was just, you know, it's, I think that's where that old order has come to an end, because I think it was beginning to trade negatively, I think, personally. Whereas, you know, if you're in relationship with people and you want to bless those people, then that is certainly a biblical thing. And I know Ian teaches, and I think Natasha Gerbach from Ariel's Gate in South Africa, they have teaching about it, in which they've seen real increase of multiplication of financial blessing as a result of sowing and trading into that to receive revelation and also blessing. You know, so it's a big subject. There's a lot of controversy around it. Most people find it difficult to talk about it. So you don't get people who are teachers in the church generally teaching about Terumah, because it could be seen that they're looking to get money, you know, which is not what it's about. It's looking to bless people. But, you know, I think a lot of churches would struggle to encourage people to hear God for themselves, because they might think, well, they might not get enough money and they'd have to close. I mean, there's a lot of, again, that would be negatively trading on fear and worry. So there's a lot of churches that do tithes and offerings messages, and you go to conferences and there's tithes and offerings messages. I personally feel quite uncomfortable about a lot of that, because I don't think it's necessary. If people are blessed, then they cheerfully should want to bless others and give, you know. And I think if people feel under compulsion or under the law and they tithe under the law, then they're not going to be blessed anyway, because they're tithing from the wrong heart and the wrong motive. I think if people tithe from the right heart, with a desire to honor God and with a desire to open up a heavenly economy so that they can sow and then reap back, I don't think there's any issue with that at all. I just think there are more mature ways of engaging in that we ask God and let God show us what to give, you know. And if he tells us to give more, then we give more. If he tells us to give less, we give less. But we're open for him to show us. And I think that going forward is a more mature way in which we are in relationship with him and we're able to hear him, and able then to be obedient to him, whatever he says. You know, and if we're not faithful with little, how could we expect God to trust us with much? You know, and, you know, there are scriptures that talk about a wealth transfer and the wealth of the unrighteous being stored up to be released to the righteous. Well, if God can't trust us with being faithful with our small amount of finances that we have right now, you know, why would he trust us with, you know, a multiplied financial harvest to bless? Because what happens if he gave us 10 million pounds or 10 million euros or dollars? What happens? And then the next day he said, well, I want you to give that 10 million to the hair or there. Would we be willing to be obedient? Or would we think, well, I could use it for this, I could use it for that, I could use it for the other situation, therefore, oh, maybe I've not heard God correctly. You know, if God entrusts us with that sort of level of finance, then we have to be willing to be obedient and to use it according to his kingdom purposes and not for our own. Finances are not to make us feel secure, because that's materialism. Materialism is trusting in the material things to make us feel happy in spiritual things. The reality is we have to be trusting in God and seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness and trust his provision and trust his blessing. And our hearts will be tested, I think, in these issues so that God exposes the motives of our heart. And where there is fear, anxiety, or worry, then we would be negatively trading. Because if we could even tithe out of fear, anxiety, and worry. And I've heard people say, you know, well, if you don't tithe, the windows of heaven will be closed. And that is true if you're being rebellious and disobedient. Well, why would you expect God's blessing anyway? But that's a general attitude of the heart. But on the other side, if someone said that and put fear upon you, that, oh, God's blessing is going to be stopped over my lives if I don't tithe, then there would be tithing in fear, and that wouldn't be right either. So I think a lot of, you know, messages, church-wise, we never give a tithe and offering message. We have a basket at the front. We encourage people to come and bring what they want to give to God that day as part of their worship. And so people are free to come at any time and give. We encourage people to give generously from their hearts. Basically, that's it. Do we want people to be blessed? Absolutely. Do we want people to be in faith that God is going to be their source and be their provider? Absolutely. So we certainly encourage giving. But, you know, I think God is wanting us to move forward as we understand him more and as we trust him more. And I think the whole financial area is one that people are being tested in, you know. You know, and if people, you know, sort of like, well, they don't teach tithing because they don't want to give, then I think that's a wrong heart. I think if people are teaching tithing because they're fearful that they won't have enough, that's also the wrong heart. We need to teach about relationship with a loving, merciful God who's abundantly overflowing, that his grace is always sufficient at all times for all our needs, so that we would always have enough for everything that we need according to our destiny, and have an abundance for all the good deeds that God's called us to do. And that means we need to trust him in intimacy and in relationship.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit us on our website, freedomtrust.org.uk, where you'll find a whole range of resources. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and lead others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? If so, check out our Engaging God program. Join a worldwide community of pioneers. Learn how to access God in the realms of heaven and take up your responsibility as a son in his kingdom. Freedom Apostolic Resources. We're here to help you find and fulfill your destiny.